Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is Everything Home, the transformational show about life, laughter, and the pursuit of happiness delivered by good people doing good business and good things. Let's take the word freedom. Wouldn't it be great to have more professional freedom, personal freedom, and how about financial freedom? Every week, Michelle Swinnick, the queen of quality content, interviews experts, entrepreneurs, professionals, and purpose-driven people to share their stories, their passions, and provide real-life, tangible takeaways. Get ready to be entertained, yet learn some incredible information. This is Everything Home, and this is Michelle Swinnick.
It's noon in Maricopa County, Arizona, and time for your daily nooner with Michelle on the Everything Home Talk Radio Show. Our TGIF fired up live studio audience has been set free by Governor Doug Ducey. Well, partially free. He still certified a fraudulent election and did nothing to investigate or require an audit. Halfway there. The mask requirement stupidly put in place by many cities and counties can no longer be enforced. No more mask anarchy, Arizona.
Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Put on your common sense caps, everybody. It's March Madness, Maskless Month, 31 days over, makeovers, motivation, and marketing. And if your governor is still a mask hole, it's time you rip off your dirty mask and take action today. Tell him you won't obey to the tyranny no more, no more. No more excuses and no more masks. It's we the people, not we the sheeple. Today's topic's on episode 189, Math Tutor. Animal Spirit, Children's Books, Mom, Connections, Faith, and God. Delivered by our partners of the Everything Home Socially Conscious Referral Network and Marketplace. They're good people doing good business and good things. We got five of them today. Mr. Don Sebek, the fastest math tutor on the planet. Joanne Helfert-Sullum, Animal Connection and Communication. Gloria Haas, Positive Pictures, Storybooks for Children. Amelia Mora Mars, the number one community for moms who are healing themselves and raising children at the same time. Closing out the show today, closing out the week is Pastor Greg Young, our all-star partner and host of Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Visit everythinghomeresourceplatform.com for more information on today's show. Guests, their websites, and everything you need to grow your business and enhance the quality of your life and make a difference. One location for all the information, the ultimate resource platform, bookmark it, make it your new homepage. Start your day with Everything Home, resourceplatform.com. Notice I didn't play the music. Just wanted to give you a heads up. I'm a target, right? Big target, big tech, one of the 11 bigs that we always talk about. So they got me. I looked this morning and they corrupted the website. They think they're going to hold me back. They're going to keep me down. No, I am free. I'm free at last, everyone. No more mask and you're going to keep me down. So just bear with me. It looks a little funny right now. I will have it taken care of this afternoon. I'll have to call it No Daddy. Instead of Go Daddy, I call them No Daddy because they are no help. You spend hours on the phone. And you keep calling over and over for them to fix the same problem, which they never fix. So that'll be taken care of this afternoon. Bear with me. Hold off on going to the website this afternoon until it gets restored. EverythingHomeResourcePlatform.com. They've got us. They think they've got us.
Everything's home.
We're your censorship-free, safe space, sanctuary, speakeasy for patriots.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Hang on.
sorry. Oh, we have somewhere, I asked the staff to write it down for me, and they did, not for this, but for a longer discussion. We have somewhere, what are we doing?
Don't worry, I watched the press conference, so you don't have to. It was full of lies, so don't waste your time on it. Just know that everything you hear from this regime in the D.C. swamp is a lie, and they're coming for your guns. They're legalizing the fraud of the 2020 election. They're raising your taxes. They're removing the filibuster. There is no border. Men can play in women's sports, and many other freedom-destroying, liberty-grabbing, Constitution-violating bills are on their way. And remember the name of the bill. Just the opposite of what the bill is what's inside. Nothing good is going to come of anything that's coming out of that D.C. swamp. And yes, they did give Biden a picture book so he knew who the reporters were. Number two, the theme this week is March Madness Maskless Month. Business and marketing success. Our two all-star episodes, 186 and 188, were unbelievable. They were absolutely amazing, and they were filled with take action items, solutions, strategies, resources, websites, advice, motivation, free consultation, so much more. I have about 5 pages of notes. You'll want to listen to them a few times. It's episode 186, 188. Make sure you have a pen and paper. I think I have time for one more breaking news item. Number three, we have to save the filibuster, and there's only two senators in the regressive socialist demon rat side who want to keep it. Anarchy's own, Kyrsten Sinema, and West Virginia's Joe Manchin. So I want you to call them both today and every day. I'm going to give you the information real quick. Her phone number, 202-224-4521. Joe Manchin, 202-224-3954. Call them. Tell them that, and this is from my precinct committee man email, forcibly but politely demand they keep their word and stand against the tyranny of the majority and maintain the Senate filibuster with no changes. And remember, all the contact information for every elected elite in the entire United States of America, local, state, and federal, is located on our Take Action tab at everythinghomeresourceplatform.com. Click the politician contact info page, or if you're here in Anarchy, Arizona, I put a special Arizona section, and you can click Arizona elected officials contact info page. Let's get on with the show. Today's topics on episode 189, Math Tutor, Animal Spirit, Children's Books, Mom Connections, Faith, and God. March 26th, day 375 of 15 days to slow the spread. Yes, that's correct. Day 375 of 15 days to slow the spread. How'd that work out for you? Surround it, so time to rip off your dirty masks. They don't work. They actually make you sick, people, and are a symbolism of control and tyranny. Reclaim your freedoms. Go back to normal. Take action and reopen America 100%.
Freedom.
Now it's time to meet the partners of the Everything Home Socially Conscious Referral Network. Today's topics on episode 189, Math Tutor, Animal Spirit, Children's Books, Mom Connections, Faith in God. First up is Mr. Don Sebeck. He's the founder of Math Celebrity, the fastest math tutor on the planet. Round of applause. Don, it's been a while. How are you?
I feel good. Thanks for having me back. I'm excited.
Well, wonderful. We missed you last month. I know you had some things that came up. So do you have anything exciting and new in the world of the math tutor, the fastest math tutor on the planet Earth?
Well, traffic keeps growing. People keep joining the site from 230 countries, and we continue to help people finish their math faster, easier, and help mom and dad free up time so they can handle their busy schedule. So it's been an exciting start to the year, and I hope it keeps going.
Well, the more they keep these kids at home, right? It sounds like some of them are just starting to leak out and go back into in-school sessions in person. But anybody that's home, you need this as a tool. Hands down, you need this if you're home. I mean, you also need it. Everyone that has children, or if you are a student, or if you're even, I think you guys even go past into the high school and college levels, you need this as a tool. It'll just make your life easier. And especially if you're trying to teach the kids at home. And then Don, you want to let everybody know that it's free, right? So there's no excuse why they don't have this as a tool in their arsenal.
Yeah. So if you're a parent out there listening, this is an automated online math tutor. It's totally free, and it works just like a Google for math. So you log on to the website, you type your math problem or search term in the search box, you press the button, and in a split second, we will show you the step-by-step work, how to solve the problem. So you don't have to schedule homework sessions. You don't have to worry about if weather's a problem and you can't go drive and see a tutor. You can get your math homework done in 10 minutes while you sit in your pajamas in the comfort of your own home.
I mean, why? Why would not everyone use this? It's just there's no reason. There's absolutely no reason, because it saves time. It makes it easier. And here's one of the things that we've talked about before on the show, and I want people to think about this. The way that teachers explain, especially math, can be confusing for students. And it could be that the student and the teacher are just on two different planes. And that was my experience with the FOIL method when I was learning algebra in eighth grade. And then when somebody else had explained it a different way, the light bulb went on. And I was like, I can't believe the way she's explaining it, because she's doing a poor job of it. So just because they're a teacher, right? Been doing it for years. Doesn't matter. Just because you're a politician doesn't mean you're any good. I don't consider them leaders anyway. Segue, side note. It's pretty much all the time. You're going to be able to look at getting math explained to you or shown to you in a different light than whatever the teacher is that maybe is causing the challenges with the student, where now the student can learn better, faster, quicker. And it changes the way that they're learning in other subjects. Right, Don?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. If you look in, and I believe it's the Oxford Journal, there's a fascinating study about how learning is physiology-based. So what that means is you could have one student in math, and you throw them under two different teachers. One teacher, they may barely squeak by with a D grade or a passing grade and come home in tears with a headache, wondering what's going on in their life and why they have to worry about math. And the second teacher, when they're done, they get an A+, they come home with a beaming smile on their face, and they can't wait to go back and take another homework test or a quiz or an assignment. So what's the difference here? It's physiology. It starts with physiology. How does the teacher make you feel? How does the environment inspire you to learn? I mean, the question I get most from both students and parents is, Don, when am I ever going to use algebra in the real world? And that's a fantastic question that schools don't cover, right? And the answer I give them is, if you take the root of the word algebra, it's an old Arabic word, which is al-jabr, which means the reunion of broken parts. And the answer I give to the question is, in life, when you go to school, when you get a job, when you enter a new relationship, what is the one common thread that goes throughout all those things? And the answer is problem solving. No matter what role you're going to take, no matter who you deal with, the real benefit of math is not the equations. It's not the ridiculous standardized testing they have in schools. The real benefit is the problem solving. And so that's what we're getting at here, is the teachers need to understand, or whoever's teaching the kid, is it's not just about the material. It's how you make them feel about learning it. What's the end goal? It's how is this going to help me in my life?
Yeah, that's a brilliant explanation. I didn't know that was the meaning of algebra. Algebra was my favorite, because you do the one side, you do the other. And it makes the whole thing makes so much sense, and you actually come up with a solution. You see, you're problem solving, which is what you do every single day in your own life. It goes so much further than math. And if children, students, and even parents were better at math, I think the world would be a better place. It would spin a little smoother, don't you think, if everyone really just understood math, like, you know, even balancing checkbooks?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at Georgetown University, just had a report come out on their site that says STEM majors are going to earn on average $35,000 more for salary. And over the course of a lifetime, it's on average $65,000 or more. So there are obviously financial benefits. But again, it goes back to problem solving. I was just speaking at a school last year, and some of the students asked me, Don, you know, what's the benefit of learning math? And I said, well, do you guys play the Xbox? Do you like video games? And they all threw their hand up and they were going crazy. Yeah, you know, I play this game. I said, did you know the people that designed that game are using vector math for the Xbox to function? And so immediately the class stopped. I mean, you could literally feel a drop in the barometric pressure, because now they're all paying attention. They're realizing, okay, if I learn this math and maybe one day I can make Xbox games, and then you tell them the salary that some of the game programmers are making, their jaws drop. And again, mm-hmm. I don't want to get strictly into financial, but that's a huge benefit to learn math.
It's incentive. I mean, obviously, where we are in society, when kids hear that, it gives them it gives them inspiration to maybe pay attention, attend class, put a little more effort into doing their homework, and especially tackling some of these subjects that seem to be considered so difficult and taboo, like science and math. And it's really not once you understand it. But then again, you need to have somebody explain it. It needs to be explained the right way. And especially however that child learns, where it becomes more clear and much easier, which is what we've discussed, which is what your tutoring program does, Math Celebrity. So Don, give the website so people can make their life easier, and everybody listening needs this. Even the adults who don't have kids, you might want to throw some math problems up there and see if you remember how to do anything.
Sure. It's mathcelebrity.com. It's spelled just like it sounds, mathcelebrity.com.
And all of Don's information, the website, the link is in this episode, every episode he's done, so you can easily find it. And again, it's a free service. There's some upgrades if you want. You don't necessarily, just to get started, go in there and sign up for the free service to get started and see what else it is that you need. But it's an incredible, incredible resource. So thanks for coming on, Don. It was nice to hear your voice. And let's go fix the world one math problem at a time.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Oh, this is really an incredible, incredible resource that Don has. It makes everybody's life easier, especially the parents. And I can only imagine when these parents had to start pulling out these math books going, you got to be kidding me. I hated math in school. I certainly won't want to do it now. All right, it's 12 to 16. I'm going to run a tight ship today, or at least I'm going to try my hardest. Let's see. I got some other breaking news. We're going to roll it out real quick. All right, we've got some local events this weekend. Don't forget, we've got, Fitz Kohler, our fitness expert from Florida, is going to be out at Lake Havasu doing the announcing for the Lake Havasu Marathon. And Jason Bressler is going to be out doing the there's a little puppy in the studio. Jason Bressler was going to be out at the Florida Core doing the pet adoption on Saturday for the Phoenix Metro Chamber Foundation. And both of those events are listed on our Take Action tab, the Reopen America Resource tab. Just look for the live events. And there's an Arizona section also, and they're under those. It's easy to find. Just start with the tabs at everythinghomeresourceplatform.com. But wait till later today, because the tech people, the big techs, hate me, and they've corrupted, but I will prevail. Now also, become a precinct committee man. Become a precinct committee. Get involved in your local politics. It's not politics anymore. It's life. And I'm going to come up with a name of what politics has now become, because it has infiltrated and infested every aspect of your life, that everyone needs to be involved in some capacity, or even if it's just paying attention. But if you're interested in becoming a precinct committee man here in Mayor Corruption County, it is so easy. Go to the Take Action tab. You'll see the drop downs there for the become a precinct committee man in Arizona, Mayor of Corruption County, and everywhere in the entire country. We're working with Dan Schultz at the Precinct Projects blog to get the information out and get more bodies signed up. That's how we fix the problems and we take back our country from the people up, because the up down isn't working. And don't forget, Clay Clark's event is out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. All the headliners are going to be there. It is the Health and Freedom Conference to Reopen America, April 16th and 17th. That live event information is on the website too. Clay Clark will be kicking off next week's Personal and Business Consulting All-Star Show on Tuesday. If you want to listen to the episode that I did with him back in September, episode 126, it's interesting. All this information now is coming out about the Wuhan virus and the coronavirus and the masks and where it all came from. We actually talked about that in detail on the show we did with him in September on episode 126. So catch that one out. And the information for the event, we will be there. I will be behind the scenes and I will be doing a live show. I'm going to drag all those cool people on the show, so you'll be able to hear a live broadcast. Plus, it's being broadcasted on tons and tons of platforms. We'll talk about that more later. I want to bring on my next guest. My next guest is Joanna Helfert. She's an artist, or shall I say, Joanne Helfert Sullum. As I said, everybody's got 45 names. I'm the only one that seems to have only two.
Hmm.
One of these kids is not like the other. That's what happens when you work all the time. You don't go get married. She's an artist and author of Evolution of a Wild Heart Audience. Give her a big round of applause. Hey, Joanne. How's it going?
Hey. Good. How are you?
I am good. I am good. And the last time we talked, I said I was supposed to get outside more because I needed to find a different animal spirit animal, because I was only seeing the rabbits that would come to the front of the office here and, you know, view me. And I haven't. I have not done that. I have fallen off that wagon, got run over by that wheel. So I don't have an updated animal because I only see the birds. I'm not into the bird thing. So the only thing but there's two now. There are two rabbits. Does that mean anything? Because they're playing. They're very frisky in the front yard, and it's a little X rated yesterday. It was a little X rated yesterday, where I was like, wow. And it's amazing how when one is trying to get away from the other, but then still trying to make it look like they're not. I don't think I've ever seen a rabbit go about 3.5-4 feet vertical in the air. It was crazy. I was like, oh, my God.
I know.
That's plain hard to get, I guess. All right.
My update. You're going to have, by June or July, you're going to have a half a dozen of them sitting out by your window waiting for you to come outside.
And the little ones, they're so cute. You just want to grab them and be like, oh, look at the little bunny. Look at the little bunny. What are we going to do today? What are we going to do today with the animals?
Well, speaking of rabbits, I'm a licensed wildlife rehabilitator, and that's one of the biggest calls I get every spring is the rabbits nest. They have very shallow nests in the grass, and they get dug up by dogs and cats and lawnmowers. So, you know, it would be nice if people would just be a little bit more aware that now everybody's going to be nesting, and just be careful with your house critters, you know, your dogs and your cats and even your lawnmower out there. You know, just maybe just walk the land before you start mowing and see if you see any nest around, and then just mow around it. But what I'd like to talk about today is gardening, because it's spring and your house plants. Do you have any house plants?
I have one, two, three. I have three.
That's great. That's great, because they're really great for, if you have them, especially around your desk where you're working, they help. They've been proven to help in concentration. Particularly certain
plants.
They're
in the other room. They're in the other room. They really should be in here. If I'm spending all my time in here, shouldn't they be in here? They be
exactly,
in the studio?
Yeah,
that's kind of stupid. Yes. Okay, I took my common sense cap off there, and I need to put it back on. Put the plants where you can see them, Michelle. I'm taking those notes. Put plants where you can see
and
them.
They help with concentration, and also they clean the air. Some of the best plants to do that is ficus tree, spider plants, rubber plants, Boston fern, which I always have trouble growing for some reason. I don't know why. I think I got to spritz them a zillion times a day. And then bamboo, which is, of course, is a money plant, too. So that's a good one to have on your desk.
I have the money tree.
Income.
The money tree has an attitude of its own, and it goes through phases. It's kind of freaky right now. It's going through a phase that we're not on the same page with. We're not in agreement. So it's quite an itch. How about this? The money trees, I don't know how they normally come. Mine has three stalks, mm-hmm. and one of them just stopped growing, but it's still alive. But it's not sprouting. But the one in the middle was interesting because, and I don't know if this is symbolic, because you're into gardening and plants. Maybe, you know, if I'm throwing this out there. So at the bottom, towards the bottom, it looks like there's a sprout coming out of a place where there's never been a sprout before. And I've had this money tree for like 13 years. I think it's been that long, something crazy like that. And there's a whole sprout, which is like the full-on leaves and stuff are coming from a different area. And I'm like, is that symbolic that that's a new stream of revenue? Is that what that means? Does that mean that there's going to be a new endeavor? Because it's in a spot that's never had any growth before, like just went on its own, went bam, I'm going to grow over here. Or I'm making something.
Wow,
Is that how that works?
You can make it up, but it sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds cool, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It sounds cool. Now it's matching the horoscope. All right, we're good. The horoscope matches the plant. See, it goes back on how do you want to interpret it? How do you want to interpret something? So you can take it in a negative direction or take it in a positive direction. And whether it's true or not, if that's what you're thinking, then that's what your frequency is, right? And that's what you're attracting. And then all of a sudden you're in that right mode. So then even if it wasn't, now look at all the good things that are coming your way, right? So it's kind of like I kind of tricked myself, but I did it in a good way.
If you believe it, it's true.
Right.
And
well,
plants
we're going
are
with that.
Also very sensitive to, there's been a lot of studies done on this, even with trees outside and flowers. And I did this experiment with some kids that I had, is even negative thoughts, negative energy around a plant will cause a plant to die. Positive thoughts, positive energy, sending out love to a plant will have it grow. This is how we are so deeply connected to each other. So one last thing is what month were you born in?
I was January, January 8th.
January. So you are a Capricorn. So bamboo is your zodiac sign plant, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. And let's see. And then you have a flower, too. I'm going to tell you. Let's see. What is it? Capricorn is pansies.
Call me a pansy, Joanne. Is that what you're saying?
Plant some pansies outside for the little rabbits.
That's one thing I've never been called is a pansy. It's usually just the opposite. Sometimes it starts with an A, ends with an E, starts with an M, and the second word is an F. But you never a pansy. All right, I'll take pansy. It's a lot more pleasant than what I'm usually called. Okay.
All right, yeah, that's your flower for your zodiac sign and your plant for your zodiac sign.
All right, perfect.
So hopefully you can get outside. And one quick tip for people who are gardening to keep the natural pests away, and this also keeps the deer away too, is garlic. Everybody hates garlic, and it's cheap enough that you could sprinkle around some in your garden or even plant it.
To just get the powder kind, unless you were going to plant it, and just sprinkle
yeah,
like you know the stuff you have in the cabinet.
The cloves. Yeah, the cloves. I take fresh garlic and just crush it and put it around. And I raise a lot of deer, and so they were a little test. I had one of my deers. I bought $100 worth of flowers. She ate $100 worth of flowers.
Oh, that's the worst. You're like, I hate this deer.
I learned the hard way, but then I discovered she hates garlic. Hates garlic. So, and that deer spray really works too. If you don't want to go out and buy garlic, you just have to reapply it after the rain. But, you know, just be careful this time of year. Do any cutting you're going to do down now. Get the garden started and talk to your houseplants. Even name them. I love naming my plants. I have a big tree. It's named Mabel. And I talk to her every day. So, that's it.
Yeah,
and
if
anybody's interested in the book or anything else I'm doing, they can go to my website, joannesalem.com, and check out, because I'm going to be posting some of this stuff too.
Yeah, you should. This is good information. It takes you away from the normal junk and the crap and all that. This is a nice little relief. Like, you know, I'm going to move my plants after the show today. So see, something simple like that. And then when I see the plant, I'm going to go, oh, I'm going to remember the episode. Then I'm going to start laughing because I'm like,
yes.
And I will get a pansy. I will get a pansy plant this weekend. I will put it in here, and then I will look at it. When I look at it every time, I will start laughing. So see, look, you created joy. I didn't even mean to. That will make me laugh. All right, Joanne, thank you so much. I look forward to next month, and maybe we'll have an update on what's going outside with the two love, the two love bunnies that are fornicating in my front yard in an X-rated manner. So, yikes. Thanks
okay.
for coming on, Joe.
All
we'll
right.
talk to you next month.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right, we are 1229. Let's see. I just want to let everybody know that if you're interested in becoming a partner, we'd love to have you part of the community. It is a like-minded place where I want to provide trustworthy information, interesting guests, people that you can trust. Simple. You just got to be a good person. You got to be doing good business. You got to be doing good things. You go to the website, everythinghomeresourceplatform.com. You can go to the Partners and Patriots tab. There's a graphic on there. You can go to the homepage. There's a graphic on there. It says schedule your seven-minute segment. I think it's even on the contact page. It's throughout the whole website. And then join the community. We'd love to have you. We'd love to have – we need more like peeps. We need everybody that's on the same page, because the more people that come together, the more that we all realize that we all are in this together, the more that we're helping each other, networking each other, working together, supporting one another – it'll make the world go around much smoother, much smoother. And you can trust everybody, especially since a lot of these people I've actually built some substantial relationships with. So they are really some spectacular individuals. One other thing, our new marketing partner for the platform is Women's Leadership Live, Debbie Saviano. She was one of our all-star partners yesterday. She had an incredible segment. I'm telling you, the segments that were yesterday and Tuesday for the All-Stars for business and marketing success, if you listen to those episodes and you apply anything between those two episodes and your business doesn't go to the next level, you've got to do a serious check on what you're doing with your business, because the content was just absolutely incredible. I mean, real actionable items and solutions and sources, not just like a hypothesis or a philosopher's theory. I don't know. I mean, we dug deep. There we go. We dug deep. So Women's Leadership Live is now one of our new marketing partners for the entire platform. We're going to do some great events. We're going to do some, I think we're going to work on some special segments. So it's going to be some really, really exciting things coming up with those guys. So let's bring on our next guest. Our next guest is Gloria Haas. She's here in Arizona. She is a best-selling author of picture storybooks for children. And you know how we love to make sure that the children are getting the right messages. And they entertain, the books entertain the children and teach them how to lead a positive life and how to do that in a positive way. Audience, give her a round of applause. You know, every time I see the name Gloria, that song jumps in my head, Gloria. Like, Gloria, Gloria, you think you got your number, Gloria. Are you there?
Laura Branigan, she made that very famous.
Oh, look at you. Awesome, awesome. Way to take the baton to the next level. Good girl. I'm liking you already. Where are you? Down in Tucson? You up north? Where are you?
I'm down in Tucson, Arizona.
Tucson, Arizona. We are up here in Merrick Corruption County, Arizona. And you saw we got no more masks in Arizona. How about that, Gloria?
Well, I'm still going to wear mine because I have an immune system that likes to break down and catch everything. And when I wear a mask, I don't get sick.
All right. I'll let you go with that. I mean, we're each to each his own opinions. Listen to episode 185 when you get a chance. Tell us a little bit about yourself, because you're a new partner, and then let's talk about the books.
Well, I'm a best-selling author over a nonfiction book, and I've written over 21 books total. And I live with my little dog who had dental cleaning yesterday, who for the first time is reacting from the anesthesia, but she will make it. I will make it. We will get through this.
What's wrong with the dog? Is it just like a little loopy? Like, does it look tired or sick?
She's reacting to the anesthesia, which she's never done before. So hopefully by Monday she'll be dancing on the ceiling like she did before and popping down the hallway and just being her normal self.
And then it's all good. It's all good. So best-selling author. with the which book is that that seems to be the most successful and where people reacted to the most that they really support?
Navigating Life with Multiple Personality Disorders.
Oh, so are the books geared towards something where there's an issue, or they're just, or is it a diverse selection of different topics?
Well, I mean, all of my books.
Yeah, I mean, do you focus on just something where there's an issue, like you're saying with did you say multiple personalities? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, so that's not a typical book, right? Especially for a children's book. So do you focus,
right.
is your niche into addressing certain issues, or is it just whatever topic you feel is that might be a need where maybe one is about a boy and a dog?
Well, it's about a need. Like in my current book, it's about stay safe when you go shopping, and then it's a little bit educational what they can learn about fabric and yarn. And, that yarn comes in different colors. And Annie talks about what her favorite color is and also about both a fabric and describes that and shows the cutting table and the process. And it's a fun, engaging book mostly. It's asking children, what's your favorite color? Do you like looking out a window? You know, does it snow where you about the climate where they are? Engaging the child to think more. And also, once they start thinking more, and it's like when you go shopping, don't run off, stay with the person who brought you.
Right. So what do you think it is that really connects with the children to make one book more successful than another? Is it the pictures? Is it something with a specific way the message is written? Because there's a lot of children's books that, you know, these kids have been reading for years and they just love the stories of the characters. But what is it that really connects with the child? Do you have an idea, or have they scientifically figured out something that really makes it where the child, you catch the child's interest?
I think because each child is different and whatever interest you can catch of theirs, it will be, you know, for that moment. And some children like books that who liked Barney? I didn't. I like Lamb Chop. But, you know, and there are tons of people who loved Barney who didn't like Lamb Chop. So I guess it all depends on the character, their personality. My book is not illustrated. It's actually photographs taken of Annie doing different things. So it's in a different format. I believe it's more connecting with the child on a more realistic level than, you know, a purple painted dinosaur, which some children relate to.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on the child and the likes, and, you know, there isn't one blanket answer or one group. I mean, you know, I'm not sure not everybody is a big fan of Sesame Street. And some of these kids go crazy as soon as it comes on the TV or they see a character. You just, you know. Any advice to an author that you could give that's interested in doing the category of children's books? I got about a minute left.
Well, just remember you're running a marathon and not a sprint, that your first book might not be a hit, but your second one might be. And it takes have them published at the beginning of the year and spend the whole year on marketing that one book. Don't do two a year. But because holidays are the worst time to get a book, get attention, because you're vying with what people normally do around the holidays, like Christmas shopping and Halloween. They're really not going to be into that unless your book is geared just for Halloween. And then have that come out like the end of September, beginning of October. Just keep going forward, no matter how small the steps it may seem to you.
Yeah, that's good advice. That's good advice. So, Gloria, give your website and share one last plug if you got anything for anybody. And then I got to bump to the next guest.
Well, I have Linktree, which is linktr.ee/ Annie and Gloria, A-N-N-I-E and Gloria.
Perfect. And then everybody, just so you remember that Gloria's website is directly connected to this episode. So if you just click on her name or the name next to it, you will get to her website. So you can't say you couldn't find her. So Gloria, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. And onward and upward, my dear, just keep on going. Like you said,
I will. Thanks for having me, Michelle.
Hey, you're welcome. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, I'm sticking in a little quick breaking news for anyone who was not listening yesterday. We are doing amazing on the numbers, and I just want to thank everyone who's been listening and supporting and sharing with their friends so we can get the messages out from the people that you need to know about. Let's see here. Where are my numbers? We were at 283,000 live listeners on one platform last week, which is the Global Enlightenment Radio Network. So thanks, Big D, for all your support and replaying the shows and getting that out there. And then the last five shows we did, this was as of Wednesday, the last five shows, there were 472,000 downloads just on iHeartRadio. Yeah, so something's going on. So please, I encourage everybody, please share with your friends, get this message out there. There's so many experts, so many partners and professionals, nonprofits, and great people that are really purpose-driven. I want to get their information out there. I want to help everybody. I want to help everybody to grow their business, enhance the quality of their lives, make a difference. If you want to rate and review and subscribe, that would be amazing. We're being censored by Apple. We're censored a lot on the social media platforms, but still follow and like us anyway. If you go to the top of every page, you'll see a big graphic to click on the podcast player of your choice. It'll take you right to the show. You can rate and review the show. There's a big graphic for that. And there's a graphic for all the links, and that'll get you more links than you can imagine. Make sure that you comment and share our posts on social media. And as I get the social media support staff in line, we'll be sharing your information too, because we're here to support you and what you do. And make sure you follow us on Rumble. We put all the videos on Rumble because YouTube strikes. It's like, what's the point? And make sure you join our newsletter so you never miss any information that's not going to be being popped up in the social media feeds. So you can always join the newsletter too. All right, let's bring on our next guest. Our next guest is a new partner. It's Amelia Mora Mars. She's a transformational strategist and founder of Mom Connections, the number one community for moms who are healing themselves and raising children at the same time. Audience, give her a round of applause. Amelia, how are you? Welcome.
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm so proud of your success. Thank you for having me.
Well, you're welcome. It's just, I don't know where it's coming from. I'm just going to go with the flow. I'm going to give everybody more great quality content, and hopefully it gets out there. It finds a way. It's like water. It'll find a way. I noticed you're in Westlake Village. Where are you?
I'm in Westlake Village in Southern California. Yes.
Okay. I went to Pepperdine. And I have friends that live in Westlake Village right now. Quite a couple of them. One of my friends is a principal of a school there. I can't remember the name of the school. How old are your kids? They're grown, right?
My kids, yes. I have 10 children, 30 to 15. 6 daughters and 4 sons.
Did you just say you have 10 kids?
I do.
Because I'm taking notes and I'm like, I just wrote 10 and I'm like, wait, you better check with her. Did she say 10? Oh my goodness.
Yes. I had, the 6 daughters and 4 sons. I had 10 kids in 15 years. So like those bunnies that you talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And the youngest one is how old then?
15.
Oh, so there's one still at home. Okay. One at home. Yeah. I don't remember what school my friend works at, but it's right there in Westlake Village. I mean, it's an elementary school. She's the principal. Gotcha. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we're connected. We've already got a connection. So tell us a little bit about
there
you, and then let's talk about your platform, the number one community for moms.
Yes. So I am a psychotherapist, and I also coach the moms who, what I noticed in my practice is so many women, when we would talk through their issues, the common theme was that a lot of them were raised by emotionally unavailable mothers. So they struggled with things like boundaries and making decisions and feeling confident and competent to raise their daughters, and some of them feeling like helicopter moms or feeling avoidant and having struggles being loving with their words or affectionate. And so I wanted to grow that, because you could only see so many people in therapy, right? Mm-hmm. There's a person mm-hmm. across from me, and I really wanted to make it bigger, and coaching allows me to do that, to serve more women who struggle with this, because it was also my story. My mom is one of 12 children. My parents are from Costa Rica. And just, you know, it's that generational cycle. It's her mom. You know, her mom was at the age of 17. She had wanted to be a nun, and she'd wanted to serve God in her community. And her father told her, no, you're getting married to a man who's twice your age. So my mom was raised by a woman who never wanted to be married and never wanted to have children. And that is just so sad. She actually gave birth to 18 children. And
oh, my goodness.
At various ages. Yeah. So just a really rough life. You know.
That was your mom.
Something she didn't want to do. That was my grandmother.
Oh, your grandmother.
Raised my mom. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So then my mom was number 9 of 12. And she was, you know, a lot like her mom, just a volatile temper. And we grew up to be very afraid of her. And my role became protecting my siblings from her. And so that was my personal story. So when I went to school, I wanted to study attachment theory and the specialization, and see that, you know, knowing it wasn't just me, that there's a lot of women. And sure enough, in my practice, there's just a lot of women. And then I see teenage girls and college girls. I already see the traits in them, that they're already struggling. So that's why I chose to make it my focus.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. That when you could track back, you can, and it's consistent, right? And because you're finding it with, and I was going to ask you that before you threw these stories at me, which supports my question that I was going to have, even though it's not about the moms, it's about your particular clients. I wanted to ask if all the different clients that you're having and the moms that you're talking to, was there a pattern, or was there a certain stereotype of their mom that then now resulted in how they were raised or reacted, or how who they've become? Was there, I mean, a direct, almost like you can carve out an avatar or pretty close to it, or maybe a few, and say, look how consistent this is. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have noticed that. Yes. If you were raised by a mom who was emotionally unavailable, and it could have been because she had a mental illness, it could have been because she had substance abuse issues, it could be because she had a physical illness, or there was another child in the home that demanded so much attention, or she was so busy with her significant other, maybe he was violent, and so she was, you know, taking care of him to protect the children. So different reasons why women can't be there. Maybe they're a single mom and they would want to be, but just, you know, just can't be there. But it's just this sense where these children, in a lot of ways, are raising themselves, because they can't turn to that mom. Maybe she's too needy. Maybe she relies on the child to help her manage her own emotions. So these children grow up having to figure out ways, just like I did. I was very resourceful. I knew my mom's triggers was noise and a messy house. And so she napped a lot to manage her depression. So with my siblings, you know, being a young kid, I thought, okay, you know, Cindy, you clean the bathrooms, I'll clean the kitchen. Marcella, you do this. I've turned on the music. I gave us a timer to make it fun. But here I'm a kid, you know, and so that's what happens.
Yeah.
Is kids become little adults trying to manage these big emotions on their own. And so they grow up overwhelmed and exhausted and serving others.
How about this? So I, in not so many words, the generations of the past, like my parents' generation, their parents' generation, very different upbringing than what I have. I'm 48, right? I'm a Gen X, right? Gen X. So very different. I mean, completely different. The whole society was different. They didn't even have information. Nobody talked about anything, especially in a strict Catholic household. You couldn't even cut paper on Sunday. So, I mean, there's no communication. And then, you know, there's all kinds mm-hmm. of, you know, whatever issues. So we all get that. But now it's different, okay? Me, if I was a mom or people in my generation, I don't want to say they don't have excuses, but there's information out there. There is people like you. There is a lot of free stuff. Everything is talked about now. Everything is over-talked and over-shared, where it gets to the point where you're like, all right, it's a little too much getting, you know, finding myself and all that. So are you finding that this is happening with people that are moms that are my age and younger when they really, to me, it just sounds so selfish that what you just said, that they don't, that the kids don't have anyone to turn to, and they are they're having to be on their own and do all this at this point in time. 20, 30 years ago, I get it, a little different, but now it's almost like how dare the mom be that selfish? So do you want to comment on that without, I'm not quite sure. But I mean, it made me mad when you said that. I'm like, how dare that mom do that to that kid?
And for me, I really feel sad. I feel like a lot of women, they're struggling with their own stuff, and not to make excuses, because what I say to women is, you know, every woman, every mother stands on the bridge between the past and the future, and only she can do the change in the present. But they need the courage. They need to face their past. And that, for me, I was terrified. I was afraid of bringing it up, that it would overwhelm me. So there's a sadness I feel. But now if a woman's going to stay there, right, there's that responsibility that we have. It's a privilege and a responsibility for us to be the bridge and to be the change and to break the generational cycles. So for me, I start from a point of compassion and help them. And that's really where we start. Is from that point of compassion that, okay, that's the life you had. Sure, you brought with yourself a lot of sadness and trauma and hurt and anxiety and, you know, all the things that have happened to you, but we can't stay there. And I refuse to let you stay there. I refuse for women to be alone and to do this on their own, because we need each other. We were hurt in relationships. We need to heal in relationships. And that's why this was born, you know, this another thing that I birthed, you know, was for the love of these women and to not let them stay there, and definitely to not allow their children to suffer in the ways that they did, nor their future generations.
Yeah. And even if they don't want to, if they don't have the drive or the ambition or the motivation to do it for themselves, do it for your kids. So same as anybody's listened, that's just not... It's not fair to the kids, you know, the moms. Whenever I talk about moms on the show, I get emotional, okay? So it's normal for me because my mom's no longer
here.
So whenever that comes, I mean, I do usually pretty good, but anyway.
I love your vulnerability. Yes. tell moms that, you know, I want moms to know that you are the most important and influential and impactful woman in your child's life, and take that stand and use that position to love your children, to show them leadership, and to create a family life that's completely different than you had. Just do the work, take action.
Great advice. Amelia, you are a breath of fresh air, a pleasure. You're such a welcome addition to this platform. I don't know if I could do a special segment with you because that would be a little too emotional, but I would love to hug you. maybe that's what we need, a little therapy session. That'll stop the hell out of some of your moms out there that are, you know, you're not being grateful for what they still have. Anyway, why don't you make sure you come on for next month, and let's talk about doing a special segment, because I don't want these moms to deprive their children of what they deserve. It's not fair. I mean, I'm on the kid's side, the mom's side. So anyway, but we got to push those moms over the edge, then we'll do it. Give your website information. And if you've got something to plug, like an event that's coming up, please do that. Oh man.
I am on Linktree at AmeliaMars.com.
No. Okay. Sorry, just say that again.
I'm on Linktree at Amelia Moore Mars.
Perfect, perfect. And then, of course, her information is linked to this show, so you just click through and it goes to her website. So you can't say you can't find her and you can't become a good mom. Ha! There! No excuse, moms! No excuse! Oh, my goodness. All right. Thank you, Amelia, for coming on. You're definitely
thank you, Michelle.
Jump on.
Thank you.
Thanks for the waterworks today, my dear. It's all right. Everybody, it happens almost on every show. I've been doing good for the past week, but it's all right. It's all right. It's all good.
Well, I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you next month.
All righty. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right,
thanks. Have a great weekend.
Well,
you know, you guys, I couldn't make it for a week without some sort of stirring up of the waterworks that I did pretty good all week. See, we were talking business. We were talking success. And you get into these other topics, and it just happens. It just happens. All right, we've got to bring on my next guest, Pastor Greg Young. He's got a busy schedule. He doesn't have time to wait around. He's a big radio show star. He doesn't have time for waiting around in my queue while I cry on the air. He's the host of Generation. All right, hang on. Give me a second here, guys. All right, we're good. We're going to be talking faith and God and love of country and love of God. We're going to bring this right back around. We're going to bring it right back around. Pastor Greg Young, he's the host of Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Audience, one of our all-star partners, he was amazing last week on episode 183. Pastor Greg.
Thank you, Michelle. It's a joy to be. You know what? I'm going to tell you right now. I cry on my show. So,
yeah.
You know,
it happens all the time. It is what it is, man.
We care.
Yeah.
You know, we care. And when you do this and you really care, you put yourself out there. And you know, I was sharing this morning, I have had times, you know, in the past, I'm in my wheelchair now and I don't get out as much yet. I will, but not yet. But at any rate, I'd be in the grocery store and somebody would see me and they'd wave and they'd say, hey, so, you know, how's your daughter or how's this or whatever? And I'd look at them again. I'd be like, thinking to myself, do I know you? And then I'd realize that I talked about it on my radio show. So, that's right. I mean, you can't, because look, I pray for the people that listen to my show. I don't know, maybe there's two or three of the five that listen that I know, but seriously, I don't know a lot of the people that listen to my program, but I'm praying for them. You know, I don't know very personally, really closely, you know, the 47 or 4,800 people that I have friends on Facebook, but I pray for my Facebook friends. And I think it's a good segue into what you were just talking about, you know, with, you know, you know somebody who's having a struggle, whether it's, you know, a mom struggle or a dad struggle. Fatherlessness in our culture today is a huge issue. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's a huge issue.
That's a major problem. I mean, especially in the, you know, African-American community, it's like 70%. Are fatherless, and that's part of the cycle. I mean, that was by design, though, and you know, we can go into that on another show, but that was just by design by the government back in, I think it was the 60s, they started that. So that was actually planned, you know, like, and you and I talk about this on my show, and I know that you do, because you intertwine politics with also religion and common sense, and you know, all of this stuff is planned. Like, they're like, well, how could this happen? No, there's like, it's like in a book, guys.
Yeah.
It's like a manual. This was actually all engineered. So don't think that just even, you know, what's going on at the border was a mistake. No. Part of the plan. Part of the plan. But anyway, go ahead. I thought I
would. I love it. Our country now has more children born to single moms than to a married couple. That's the new percentages. I think it's 59% of all children, red, brown, yellow, black, and white, all children are born to a single mom. We talk about the issue of abortion, and I am a staunch pro-life believer, but I know what even pro-life people who talk about, well, what would happen, if there's no abortion, we don't have the moral code in our country at this point, because we teach children starting in fourth grade to have all kinds of sex. We expect them to have sex by the time they're 11 or 12 years old.
Is that young now? Is it that bad?
Oh, that's the message. That's the message.
Ugh.
It's anticipated. Well, they're attracted to one another, so they're going to have sex. And now that they've introduced, the homosexuality thing and now transgenderism and so on. But you wouldn't have. Here's the thing we've got to understand, though. So many conservatives were silent. Libertarians were, hey, everybody gets to do what they want to do. Everybody was silent as the homosexual agenda kept growing. And they were very, very effective in, if you spoke against it, you were a homophobe. And so lots of labels, lots of names, lots of, hate if you said anything, okay? The problem is that as soon as it was legalized, they immediately put it into school instruction. So now you've got kids being told, fourth graders are being told, you should consider having sex with other boys. And girls, you should consider having...
That's what they do. That's what this crazy... Yeah. Socialist, regressive, demon rats, I always say it's all of them, all of the politicals, the bigs, all of them against us. But this is different. This, when they take these topics or these agendas and they amp them up where they're putting this indoctrination into the school systems that America is bad, that we're all racist, that the whole country is systemically racist. And then they're saying, you know what, just because you like to play in the dirt, little girl, maybe you really are a boy, so you consider that. No, that doesn't even make any sense. Like, kids are kids. So if a little boy has like my brother, when he had a little doll, which was, I think, my doll. I didn't even like to play with dolls. I was outside acting like a tomboy. And he would just take this little shopping cart that we had, a little plastic Fisher-Price one, and he would put the doll in it, and he would go from yard to yard, just back and forth. Had nothing to do with the doll. He wouldn't like dolls. But so if nowadays, if they did that, they would probably have a counseling session and say, you know what, since you like to play with dolls, meanwhile, the doll was just something to put in the bin. It wasn't because you didn't dress the doll up, wasn't playing with the hair and putting in the clips. They would then want to change that to make the child
change
think
his
that
sexual
he liked,
preference. Yeah.
Because they want the child to think that he likes to play with dolls. No, it probably was the only thing that was closest to him that he grabbed and put in the thing. And then all of a sudden it just became a habit because children probably, it's probably something with kids where they just use the same thing because they used it yesterday. Why would they touch something new? See what I mean?
I grew up with Raggedy Andy. I grew up with Raggedy Andy.
Well,
Raggedy Andy was my buddy.
But that's not allowed now.
Okay.
You can't have a doll as a boy. No.
No. Well, you can, but then they're going to try to make you something else. They're going to try to create the problem. Just what you
that's
said, create that narrative. You betcha.
That's the problem.
Absolutely.
They're creating the narrative. They're ruining it. They're indoctrinating. They're pushing things on that do not need to be in the lives of children. Whether the kid is gay, or let's just say the kid ends up being gay because he really was gay. Okay, let's just say that. You let the kid just be the kid. You don't need to have all this other crap in their little world when they're just trying to, like, you know, figure out not to eat the pencil. You know what I mean? And that's the problem. They know this is a vulnerable demographic. And this is what they could do. If we catch them early, then we can create all this and we can make this change. And then we can get them all the way through college. And that's the part where people need to tune in as the truth as to what's really going on. Because it has nothing to do with transvestite, gay, or straight, or whatever. It's being able to manipulate and control and get people to do what you want and transform them, their brain or, you know, their parts into what you want as the agenda. You want to comment on that?
Well,
because I know that you agree.
Has to do with the morality issue, Michelle.
Or lack of.
A lot of that has to do with the right. Well, but that's the whole point. And really, you know, that's where God's word talks about in Romans 1, you know, when man decides that he's going to, you know, cast off God and not recognize him as the creator, then God is going to say, okay, I'm going to step back out of the picture, and then you'll see what that's like. And that is giving yourself over to the most debased. And here's the thing that I want to say, too, about the issue of addressing homosexuality as one of the examples. We're talking about what God calls sin, but God doesn't call it sin because God is some kind of a killjoy. God calls it sin because the ultimate effect of it is the same as the effect of cancer. It will kill you. It will kill you. Okay? Homosexuality and multiple partners and all of those things are going to lead to a form of death, whether it's mental, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical. They all are going to lead to these things. You are more vulnerable to sicknesses and illnesses, and your immune system is broken down. And there are so many different things about it. Look, we all have sin issues that we're born with because we're born with a sin nature. And what we don't preach in churches anymore is crucified with Christ. The old man is put on that cross and he's supposed to die so that Christ can give us a new person on the other side. Old things passed away, all things new. That's the set free. Not dragging that corpse around anymore, Michelle. Not carrying those burdens and that sickness and that ache and that pain and all of those things. Not carrying them anymore. The other side of the cross is the freedom. And we don't address sin as the bad thing. Sin is turned into the cool thing. And it was the Christians over here that are the stuffy guys. I'm going to tell you, having been serving God now for, goodness gracious, 45 years.
Wow.
I have literally, truthfully lived out every single one of my greatest fantasies and dreams. I've been in a movie, I've been on the radio, I've sung songs, I've owned a Christian record label, I've owned multiple multi-million dollar businesses, I have 5 kids, I have 3 grandkids. I've traveled around the world, and I wasn't born wealthy. I wasn't born with a silver spoon. I come from a broken household. My mom and dad got divorced when I was a teenager. I was suicidal at the age of 13.
Yeah, but look how you turned out. But look at all you just said. Look at the list. Look at the list, guys.
It's because of God. That's the only reason that all of those adventures happened in my life is because God opened up these remarkable doors. And I said to him all along the way, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I still get up every morning and I say the same thing, the accident that I've been through. And folks, if you have not read this story and you're going through some stuff, I encourage you to read my story and what God's done for me. Go to the GoFundMe page. Go to my website, pastorchosengenerationradio.com. Read about the accident that I went through, diving from the passenger seat to the driver's seat to save my daughter's life, dying 4 times, 6 weeks on life support, not knowing whether I was going to live or die, 3 trips to heaven, 3 months in the hospital, Michelle.
Oh, my gosh. How long ago was
it? I'm still sitting in a wheelchair today. This was 3 years. Just three years ago. This happened just 3 years ago. I was given 3 to 6 months to live back in 2004.
Well, you're supposed to be here. You're supposed to be doing some sort of God's work, and I think you are. He keeps stringing you along. You're like, all of a sudden, you think you're ready to go. The evil is trying to get rid of you, and then God goes, no, we're not done yet. You still got stuff to do, buddy, so get back to work. Chop, chop.
Amen. That's it. Well, yeah.
How much time do you have? Because I know you're busy, and it's 1:11.
I'm good. I purposely worked diligently to get all my work done so that I would be at your disposal.
Oh, I love you. But you also know it's Friday, and we like to have a little fun on Fridays, and then we also it's the end of the week. We had a pretty hardcore business and marketing week. Amazing, all-stars. And then, of course, your show last Thursday, episode 183 for our community awareness, action, and faith. That was pretty powerful stuff. Pretty powerful stuff. And did you know, I'll share something with you. Just on our one platform that we're on, the Global Enlightenment Radio Network, your show had 171 over 171,000 live listeners just on one network. That was your show, PG.
Wow.
You did great.
Wow.
Yeah, you're pulling the numbers. Yeah, you guys pulled the numbers on that show. I mean, it's not like your station, but I'm doing what I can. You know, it's baby steps. You got to get the word out. You got to get people. You got to get the gas. It takes time.
Yes. Yes, it does. No question.
It takes time.
Yes,
all right.
Ma'am.
So, I didn't want to bring this up again.
So how can I help?
It's hanging out there. All right,
how can I
question.
Help?
Since you were talking about,
all right.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Here we go. You know, I'm going to ask my kinder. I'm going to go in kindergarten questions because all you know, this is all this level of the Word of God and things like that are always new to me. So I'm a kindergarten question kind of kid. Since we were talking about the homosexual thing, I just feel like I've got to put this out there because I don't want to leave it hanging.
Let's ask.
I don't care if people, if boys like boys and girls like girls. I don't care about that. That to me doesn't matter. And if they're good people, they're doing good things, and they're in a relationship together as if they were just a man and a female, and being, you know, I don't want to say normal, but a traditional relationship. I just can't imagine that God would think that would be categorized as a sin if they are loving, they love each other, even if they had kids, and they were just doing good things on the planet. So I just never quite understood how, I get that the man and woman, they're supposed to actually be together to procreate, right? That's really the whole purpose of a husband and wife is to create more people and humans, right? That's why they made the man look the way the man does. And then the woman nice and pretty and smells good. And the man's out there you know, bringing home the animals and bring, you know, being the warrior and the protector, and the woman does all the other stuff. You know, typical scenario. As you know, obviously things do change. It's 2021. I get that. But I just can't imagine that he would hate those people or call them sinners when they're really just, they're good people that just happen to like somebody who was like them. Comment on that. But that's just one thing I can't get my arms around.
All right. So let's talk about the subject of good for a minute. Okay. And let's understand what God's concept is of good, because his concept of good is the only one that matters. We don't get to decide good, nor can anything that we do be good enough. It doesn't measure up. We can work and do all kinds of good works all our whole life. But the problem is that we were born with this sin nature. So we will tell a white lie. We may take something that doesn't belong to us. There are things that we will do along the course of our life that will, if it's all read back, will be wrong. There'll be a breach. We could look at the Ten Commandments. You know, did we make God first and foremost in our lives? And is that evidenced in everything we did? Did we ever covet someone else's something? Did we always honor our mother and our father? You can go right down, you can go just that small list. And the issue has to do with good. And the reality is Jesus Christ was necessary. His death on the cross, and that's what we're getting ready to talk about this whole week, right? Palm Sunday, the victorious ride into Jerusalem, which led to him being arrested in the garden, the Last Supper before that, and him saying to Pilate, when Pilate says, I have the power to either put you on the cross and kill you or give you your freedom. And Jesus says, Pilate, you don't get it. You don't have power to do anything over me. I am volunteering to go to the cross. And Paul writes that Christ went to the cross with joy, knowing what it would accomplish, which is reuniting us with him and with his Father. Jesus's death on the cross was an absolute necessity because we have a warped sense of good. Because we tried to build the Tower of Babel and it didn't work out. Because we tried to follow all the laws and rules and regulations, and guess what? Nobody ever did. And we still don't today. So we can insert homosexuality into the equation, and we can say, well, you know, they're good people and they do all these good little things, or they can be heterosexuals. And they can still be good people and they can be good in their community and all these things and they can get all these awards every month. But if they haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, if they haven't submitted themselves to God's rules and asked forgiveness for the things that they're doing or that they did that don't meet his standards, they made the choice to reject God. God's not rejecting them. He says in Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him. Whether it's alcoholism or adultery or homosexuality, they all make the list of the things that Scripture says do not get you into heaven. And so as a pastor, as a Christian, as a lover of people, I don't ever want to tell somebody something contrary to what's in the Word of God and then tell them that that's going to be okay and they're not going to suffer for it for eternity.
Hmm.
It's more loving to me to say, you know what? This is what God says. I don't make the rules. I don't decide who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. It's clearly written in the book. And the only pathway to God is through acceptance of the death, resurrection, and ascension, and the asking of forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins before him, he's just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have helped a number of people who were caught up in homosexuality who came and we met and they said, help me. And I prayed with them and I walked them through truth. And then God, by his Spirit, set them free. Just like I've walked alcoholics through and drug addicts through and liars and adulterers and all different kinds of people. I put their hand in the hand of God, and God does the work, just like he did with me. And I'm not perfect, but I'm perfected through Christ, not through Greg. I can keep putting freshwater wells in India and feeding poor people over there and leading them and seeing their communities changed and all those wonderful good things. But every single one of those good things, all of them, don't save me.
Hmm.
Only my faith in Jesus Christ. Only my recognition that he and he alone is the one whose righteousness covers me. And those acts that I do, those good works that I do, are done by faith in response to a God that loves me.
You know, it's a shame that they always separated. You know, they say you never want to talk politics and religion with people. Never want to talk politics and religion. And as I keep reiterating, this past year has shown they've worked really hard at intertwining politics, religion, and everything else in our lives, that it's just a part of us, right? More people need to get involved. More people need to be aware. More people need to be awoke. And, well, actually, they have to be awake, not awoke. And we don't like the word woke. Woke is bad. Awake is good. They have to be more in connection with God and restoring their faith and becoming closer and building a relationship with them. But yet, you know, all of those false authorities that we've allowed to hijack society have now, you know, told us don't talk about religion. Don't talk about politics. Well, that party's over. Ship has sailed. And, you know, it's having conversations like this. I mean, I hate to say this. I went to Catholic school for three years. I was so young, I don't remember. But I did the CCD thing so I can get the confirmation. And I don't remember anything that you just said or really anything that you talk about ever discussed in the CCD classes. Not like none of it. I mean, the gist of the story of Jesus, yeah, meaning, you know, the big thing was always the Passover, right, and Easter. But I don't – all this other stuff, we never talked about that or history of it or even, you know, the whys so that you had an understanding where it wasn't just stories. There was actually the meaning behind it. So then you could intertwine the purpose in addition to the stories. So the stories would all – you know, they'd all connect and make sense because you don't – I mean, you can listen to stories all day long, but if you don't understand the why, you don't understand the purpose, which like you're talking about, you know, you just said, God, do I know the Ten Commandments? I've seen them, right? I couldn't rattle them off right now like you could. I mean, and then you said, you know, what's God's rules? I don't know what his rules are. I try to do good things out there where I'm not, hurting other people or being evil. You know what I mean? But I don't know, like all these other specific stuff. I don't know. I have no idea. No one's ever told me. No one's ever showed me. I don't know. And I know that I'm not alone. There's probably, 100 million people, 150, 200 million people that are feeling the same way that I got my American Patriots Bible, and I'm going to start checking that out this weekend. I'm just really behind because there's only so many hours in a day. But real quick, because I've got to finish this by around 1:30-ish, because then we end the live feed, which I need to adjust that. But anyway, since you mentioned Passover, since you mentioned Palm Sunday and Easter, you know, Passover starts the 27th, it ends the 4th. Palm Sunday is this Sunday. Where is the chapters, the verses in the Bible that start that part of the story? Because that's what I'm going to start to read. I'm going to jump to that section since it's current events. Where is that? Like, I have no idea even where to look. Isn't that horrible? Like, I have no idea. Lay it out like that's a story? Right. Like, just pretend it's John something. So if I start in John something, am I going to get the full week story or I got to jump around? So can you tell that I've really never read like a chapter in a Bible? I'm just pulling out little verses that people tell me to go. And I'm cool. Yeah. Making an arse out of myself on the show in order for other people to feel comfortable enough to get these answers too. Cause I know I'm not alone. I know I'm not the only person that has these questions. And if you can answer them for me, then look how many people we just solved the problem for too.
Amen. No, I would say Matthew chapter 21, would historically be, I mean, that would be a good place to begin. And it will pretty much take you right through from point A to point B. The Gospels are where we find, you know, you could start. And then another place to start would be Luke chapter 22.
Yeah, I'm looking at the book right now. I'm looking at the good book. Where's the Gospels? Which ones are the – see, these are really bad questions.
Matthew, you're good.
Matthew's
you're good.
Gospel.
Michelle, God bless you. You're all good. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Those are the four headliners. Those are the four headliners.
Yep, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And to understand those books as well, I would strongly recommend to your audience that they get a book called The Challenge of Jesus. If you love to read good stuff, I would tell them to get The Challenge of Jesus, and
Hey, hold that thought one second. PG, hold that thought one second. I just want to let the live audience know that I didn't switch the show to 2 hours instead of an hour and a half. So the live audience, we're going to lose you here at 1:30, but you can always catch the replay at the website, everythinghomeresourceplatform.com, because the full show is always on the replay or your favorite podcast player. So I'm going to fix that for next week. So I apologize to the live listeners. We're going to lose you here shortly. Go ahead, PG. Sorry about that. I just want to let them know.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you. And God bless all of you and a blessed Palm Sunday. So it's The Challenge of Jesus by N.T. Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. The Challenge of Jesus by N.T. Wright. And I'll tell you, hang on, I got an alarm going off. I got to kill. I'll tell you what's so significant about that book is that it explains the Gospels through the eyes of a first century Jewish person. See, the Gospels were written to the Jews, not to us Gentiles. So there's a lot of deeply seated meaning in the things that Jesus said, and nuanced meaning that you won't get unless you understand it from a first century Jewish perspective. They understood, well, number one, we got to remember that Jesus was Jewish.
Right.
Very, very Jewish. Went to temple every weekend, read that, he was up in there as a rabbi reading the Torah. He was very, and so his actions were that way as well. What he did, how he did it. And it was very symbolic to the first century Jew, and his activities to those that were really paying attention confirmed that he was Messiah, that he was who he claimed to be, not just because of the miracles, but because of how he conducted himself, how he taught, what he said. There's reference in the Gospels where it says that he spoke as one speaking from authority, that he read in a way that was entirely different from the way that anybody else read these scrolls. That he read them almost like he wrote them, like they were his. Well, he did, and they were, because he's God.
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, whoa, mind blown. Hello.
Whoa, guys. Whoa.
Yeah, it was like God in the flesh showed up at your church and started preaching on Sunday. Hello.
God, this guy's really
good.
He's really
just
good.
It might sound just a little different. Like, wow, I love that. This guy really owns this stuff,
Yeah. He's a pro. He's not just the amateur off the street. This guy's been doing this for a while.
No.
All right.
No.
Oh, that's funny. So anything that people should do special for this coming week, if they don't have some traditions that they normally do or something that they should be aware of to participate just a little bit?
I think one of the neat things would be maybe to start on Sunday with, reading out of Matthew 21 or reading out of Luke and getting the, starting to get the story down.
That's important.
Luke chapter 22, and understand, that Jesus, when he arrives in Jerusalem, sees so many of those that were following him were convinced that at a certain point he was going to ride into Jerusalem and they were going to overthrow the Romans and he was going to reestablish Jerusalem as the capital and Israel as a national power.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it, to some guy we know that starts with a T and ends with a P, doesn't it? A little familiar there, PG?
Yep. Sounds a little too close to home. Yeah.
Sounds a little too close to home, that story.
Yeah, some of that. But but that wasn't, you know, that wasn't Jesus' purpose.
Right. He was supposed to be crucified. Right?
Had to lay his life down. Had to lay his life down because there had to be a once and for all perfect sacrifice to wash away the sins of the world. Had to.
You know, when you said that earlier, when and you got to go, what, like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and we'll wrap it up? You heard the alarm go off. I just wanted to say that when you said that I'm not going to remember it from a class. I'm not going to remember it from reading it. So I'm going to have to rely on a movie, right? So unfortunately, there's an interpretation there, right? That's most of my history has come from watching one of the movies about Jesus, right? There's been a whole bunch, and I wanted to ask you which one you liked the best. But when you said that he told, who was the guy? It's not Pontius Pilate. Where was the Pilate? Him and the other one, I get confused.
Yeah. Pilate. Well,
Pilate.
When he told Pontius Pilate. Yeah,
okay,
Pilate. Yes.
He said, no, I volunteer. I want to do that. I don't ever remember that being part of the storyline that I heard or paid attention. I didn't realize that. I mean, I knew that he knew this was something he had to do, but I didn't know that he told the guy that. And then for me, that changes everything because when I watch the story, and especially when he's taking the cross through the town and they're throwing stuff at him and he's bloody and it's like that. And I'm like, how could these people do that to somebody when the guy, I mean, I can understand this guy was like, you know, killed people or shot people or rapists and whatever. And like, yeah, then you could see it a little bit. Like, you know, you give him a little bit of torture on his way out. But that's not the case. He only created miracles. He made blind people see. He took, you know, a loaf of bread and like one fish and then the whole town could eat, you know, for the rest of their lives. So, I mean, he was only doing amazing things. And that part of the, whenever I saw that part of the movie or heard that part of the story, I would get so angry. I was like, how could these people do that? And then I would feel so bad. And like, I would feel, and there was like a little, like not me personally, guilt, but that was the part where I'm like, oh my God, these people, they're just like crazy. They're animals. And now that I know that he actually said, no, I know what's going to happen. I have to do this. It makes me feel a little bit better about his experience doing that because he already knew. He already expected it and he was prepared for it. So he knew these people were going to do this. So I think it'll be a little bit easier for me to watch that knowing that he was all right with it. He's like, and it didn't matter because he knew what the end result was going to be. I have a feeling, I mean, there's probably no way to verify it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a feeling that there wasn't a lot of human
himself,
pain.
That,
there probably wasn't a lot of human pain. There probably was not like if that happened to you or me, he probably didn't feel this because he didn't need to experience the pain, right? But so I'm thinking God probably said, you know what, you're not going to feel this the way that if it was just a regular guy, because you're not a regular guy. Because that's why I felt so bad for him. Like, how could these people do this? You know what I mean? So now that changes my outlook a little bit where he really had the upper hand, where it wasn't. I don't know how I'm doing a poor job explaining this.
No, you're right.
He's more
well,
in control where
he,
it was like, no, dude, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
This is the way it's going down. And I know it's going to get ugly and it's going to be bad, but it's not going to hurt me. I'm not going to feel this and it doesn't matter. So you can go ahead and do your little dog and pony show. I'll go along with it. And everybody on my team, the real hardcore ones, they already know what's going on. So they're cool with it too. Whatever. You do what you want, buddy. So that's kind of in 2021 terms. So people can put it in a little bit of like perspective. I feel better about that now for what that's worth for anyone.
Now understand that he did feel it. He felt the pain.
Oh, he did.
He felt the hurt. Oh, yeah, he did. But listen, but he knew the purpose of it. And he felt it for us. Everything he suffered for us. Stripes, so that we might be healed. The crown of thorns upon his head, representing man's attempt to try to usurp God, and the pain of all of that, the lashes, the beatings, the broken body, all of those things. You know that in actuality there was a surgeon who did a study on the crucifixion, and when they punctured Jesus in the side with the spear, they actually went through the rib cage and they punctured the pericarditis, which is the sac around the heart. And that's where all the blood and water came from, was the sac around the heart. What's interesting to understand about Jesus's death is that because of the inability to rise up and breathe, because they broke his leg. They fixed him so that he couldn't push up anymore. Okay? So that you can't make that push. So because of all of that, his heart literally filled up with fluid around in the lining of it, and that crushed his heart. And that's what physically killed him. So he literally, physically died of a broken heart.
Well, that's pretty symbolic.
That's
Yeah. But yeah, he was exactly. He lasted a long time, though. So, I mean, 3 days. I mean, if it was you or me, it wouldn't take that long to end the time.
No. It didn't take 3 days to die. No, 3 hours. He died within 3 hours.
Right. Oh, 3 hours of when they were in the town?
He was dead. He was dead in the grave for 3 days.
3 days. Oh, this is horrible that I don't know.
He was dead in the grave for 3 days.
I remember that, 3 days. Right, I knew that.
And the word says that during that 3 days, he descended down into Abraham's bosom, preached his own message of salvation and resurrection, and rescued the captives, so that all those that we read about in the Old Testament, Samson and Abraham and Noah and all of them that had previously died, who were, the Word of God tells us, in Abraham's bosom, waiting in this holding place. When Jesus showed up, they had the opportunity to accept that he was the Messiah and be led to heaven.
Oh.
And so that was what happened in those 3 days.
Okay. But he was only on the cross for 3 hours.
Yeah, he was only on the cross for about 3 hours.
Longer than that. Okay. God, I have so much to learn. This is insane.
And he says in Matthew 26:53, but Jesus said, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? So that was the point at which he said, I know what's going to happen, and it has to happen, and I'm allowing it to happen.
Okay.
And then in 19:10, Pilate says, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? And Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin.
And he didn't like that. That's when I think it went sideways.
No, he did. Well, from that point on, he was like, whoa. Oh no, Pilate was like, I don't want anything to do with putting this guy. This guy's not guilty. This is an innocent man. I am washing, and he did. He literally, symbolically, he had a bowl of water, and he washed his hands and said, his blood is not on me. I am washing my hands of this. You want him crucified? You're calling it. You're the ones making the decision. You're calling for his crucifixion, so it's all on you, not on me.
Is that where one?
Because Pilate.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, because Pilate's wife did have a dream, and in the dream.
Right. Oh yeah, the dream.
The spirit. The angel came and she went to him and said, "You have got whatever you do. Don't be the one that puts this guy on the cross. That's all I'm going to tell you."
Yeah, I'm just giving you a heads up there.
Don't
guys.
Be the. Yeah. Don't be the one.
Yeah, you don't want that.
You know,
so people did it.
Mel Gibson's, Mel Gibson's Passion does an incredible job with the crucifixion and what really Jesus went through, the scourging and all of it. It's really an incredible, it's so well done. It really is. Theologically, it's well done, and from a sheer production perspective, it's just so very well done.
So that's the homework assignment for everybody who needs to start with entertainment and visual, who can't open the Bible for chapter 21, Matthew 21 and Luke chapter 22. You could start with the movie. I am going to get it, watch it this weekend. You know, it's funny. It was 2004 or 5 when I had my real radio show like you do. You know, like we go down to the studio and somebody does all the boards and work for you. Pay them a bunch of money a month to, like, you know, go on the radio where it's actually in the car. We did a special in the good old days, right? We did a special episode, Passion of the Christ. We had somebody that was connected to the movie. I don't remember who it was. And they came on and we did a deep dive for a whole hour on the Passion of the Christ movie. And don't remember a thing about it. But I will pull out that radio show because I have all the – that's back in the day when they used to give you the show on a CD. Remember? They used to hand you the CD and say, here's a copy of your show. And you said, wow. I don't think they don't do that now. But I will pull that out this weekend. And depending on what's on it, I might share. I don't know what comes out of my mouth or how it sounds, but it's a long time ago, and I actually don't even know how I'm going to get the CD to the recording. I don't know how they do that anymore, but we'll figure it out. But I'm encouraging everybody to at least watch the movie and then read those chapters, and then we'll continue with the next time you're on. But yeah, this is. I'm not alone in my kindergarten questions, so I appreciate your patience, PG. PG.
Thanks.
For anyone who's not figuring that out, that's Pastor Greg, PG. I call him PG for short.
There you go. I like it.
Or I could say PGY, like instead of PYT, pretty young thing, you're PGY. Like you're the notorious PGY. Notorious PGY.
That's it.
Yeah. You know, what up, PGY? All right, I'll let you go. Lily, you're funny too. You're funny too. Anything else that you want to share? You got any guests you want to plug that are coming up, or anything about the work that you're doing? So, what do you want? Anything you want to throw out there?
Yeah. So Monday on the program, Joy Villa is going to be with me.
Oh, I love her. I want to get her on the show.
Yeah,
Tell her that she...
The Trump dress. I'll connect you. I'll connect
you.
Can you
please do that?
I will connect you.
Yeah, I don't... Well, here, listen to this. This is from her. This is from her song. Look. That's her song. So I'm thinking maybe I should play that while she comes on. Oh, no, I cut and pasted it from different parts of her song, and I put it together. So I use that all the time. So I'll probably leave that part off when she comes on. Yes, totally stolen. But I was like, okay, I've wanted her to come on for a while. So, yeah, if you could make that connection, that's awesome. What time? When can people tune in?
I will. So she'll be on at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. My show's on 10 a.m. to noon Eastern, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Texas time, which is 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And you can find a place to listen at the website, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, ChosenGenerationRadio.com. And my other guests on Monday will be Rick Manning from Americans for Limited Government, Robert Curry. Robert Curry is on the board of directors for Claremont Institute, and we're going to be talking about unlocking the power of the forgotten America, going into American history and what history in America really is, the real American history. And then James Herson is going to be with me, and we're going to talk about how they're trying to take us down a path to a one-world religion. You know, the globalists, the one-world order, they want a one-world religion as well, and Christianity is not it.
Right. They don't need that. No, they're evil. They're evil. It's pure devil and Satan. It's horrible. I mean, and you can see it in their actions and what comes out of their mouth. And a quick plug about Mr. Rick Manning. I interviewed him on episode 127 and 129 with Star Parker. So if anyone wants to listen to two great episodes, 127 and 129. And, you know, we'll have to do, Pastor Greg, we'll have to do a full-on podcast recording, one-on-one, where we go through. That way I can do the blog and we can do a recorded version. We'll do it maybe sometime in April when we have more time. But I really like the live sessions with you, though, because then I can ask my silly questions and you can let everybody know that Michelle has no clue about God or religion. No idea.
And I'm totally on the spot flying without a net. I'm out here without a net. It's okay. No worries. Did he really say that? We've got him now.
Exactly. All right, we're good. Knock it up. Put it in the file. We got him. Yeah, none of this is scripted. Well, none of this is edited. Yeah. None of it is even planned. I mean, the title of your segment is Faith in God, and then whatever comes out happens. So that's just, I like it that way. I like it that way.
No, it's cool. Well, and I got to get you on my show, so I'll get you an email over there, and we'll figure out a time to get you on my show where you can tell my audience all the cool things that you do on this show, because I know they'd love it. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'll keep it clean. I'll keep it clean.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're on my producer over there. Yeah. Hitting the button going, hey, wait, I broke my finger. Stop that.
That was pretty good, but I'll watch my P's and Q's. When I go on the other shows, I watch my P's and Q's. And so it's all good. It's all good. We just got to, you know, we gear it towards the audience, But on mine, I let loose a little bit more because I can. Because I can't, because the people here want the truth. They want the truth. They don't mind when...
Because you can do it.
Yeah, so I can say Mayor Corruption County, because I can. Hey, did you hear that in the beginning of the show? We got no more masks in Arizona. No more masks in Arizona.
Yeah. Yay.
Yeah, Governor Doug Ducey came out yesterday on a surprise visit, passed an executive order. You know how we feel about executive orders. It said everybody... created a mask mandate and in the cities and towns and counties, they're gone. So now you can go back to normal. And, federal stuff, there's still the stupid restrictions, but businesses don't have to do it. People don't have to do it. So if anyone's crazy enough to do it, they can. Not recommending that for business owners. You won't get no business. I can tell you that right now.
Right.
All of a sudden it was like, gyms are back open because people weren't going in because they were making you wear a mask. How are you supposed to exercise with a mask on? That's the craziest thing. You could keel over and die. You're on the treadmill with a mask.
No
are
doubt.
You nuts? So my roommate called as soon as he saw that, and they said, he goes, we're having a meeting at 3, so I'm not sure yet. And he's like, all right, call me as soon as the meeting's over. The guy from the gym calls and he goes, we're free. He goes, awesome, sign me back up. So then he went to the gym this morning. So, yeah. So.
Nice.
Yeah, we were waiting for that. So we, in case you missed it. So this is what I played when I found out. I was like,
free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Gotta love Arizona. Gotta love Arizona.
No doubt. Now
we just need to get that audit all nice and opened up, and we'll get the ball rocking and rolling, and we'll get rid of some of these politicians here in our state with our recalls. And you know, we got to clean it up. But there's a lot more corruption here. We're really bad. I mean, I had no idea. I mean, this is a real old boys network. But we won't focus on that. We'll leave it on a good note for our peeps. All right, so Monday, 10 to noon Eastern time, and Monday through Friday, and I'm going to, once I fix the website, because the big tech is coming after me, they've corrupted my website knowing that I'd be on the air today, so I got to go call No Daddy, which means they provide no help. They never fix the problem. So I'm going to call them today, get that all resolved. Oh, God, you should see it. It's unbelievable. They did a doozy on me. It's because it didn't happen. It didn't get corrupted by mistake. I mean, you know, either the devil and the evil Lord and the whatever that lurks underneath the ground, it did it, or whatever, the tech people, because this doesn't happen. You just don't do what it did. So it's okay. We'll restore it. We'll get back to normal. But I'm going to make sure that your show is up on our must listen to page, but I'm going to put it up at the towards the top, because you're officially considered a famous person, so you could be in the famous person category. Because you're a famous person.
Wow.
No, big deal.
Wow.
You're a big deal. All right, I'll let you go. It's almost two. Oh my goodness. Such a pleasure. I love you so much, PG. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Palm Sunday. I probably won't talk to you before Easter, which I think is the following. Oh my! So it's early this year. Next week. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I know.
No meat. No,
I know.
Oh,
it's coming
back. I'm supposed to have no meat on Fridays. I blew it this morning. I already. Let's see.
Did you eat some bacon?
Yeah, 3 strips.
Did you have bacon?
I did scrambled eggs with a little bit of cheese, and then I was like, bacon. Totally forgot. It's my mom. She would say, Michelle, the least you could do is not have meat on Fridays. That's what she, and I was like, all right.
I had kosher hot dogs. I think that's okay.
Anything kosher is fine.
Right?
Kosher
hot dogs.
Kosher, I think, trumps.
I don't actually,
Kosher trumps meat, no meat things, right? Because it's kosher. It's a whole different world. It's whatever.
Right.
I think kosher is better than organic. Yeah. It's like, you know, the pecking order from Jesus. I don't know. All right.
There you go.
I gotta wrap it up.
There
I got 3
go.
Minutes. Thank you, sir.
All right, sir.
And
you bet.
We got a lot of homework to do together. All righty. Talk to you later.
Yes, ma'am. All right.
Thank you so much. Bye. Oh, what a pleasure. And he's so patient, me knowing nothing and asking all my kindergarten questions, so that we all can learn, we can all kind of figure this out together. We all have the information. All right, real quick. I got 3 minutes before the show actually finishes. No, I got less than that. No, I don't know. All right, here's your daily reminder. The regressive socialist demon rats, the Republicans, the elected elites, and the permanent political pundits and all the false authorities have been lying to us for decades and colluding with one another, the 11 big, a.k.a. big media, mainstream media, big tech. They're after me today, but I'm going to clean it up today. I'm going to get them. Big government, big business, big labor, big money, big entertainment, big lobby, big pharma, big box, big religion. Have no use for you, the American people. We the people, except to take your money and freedom. They only want control. We need to rely on each other. Since we're all in this together, I'm going to play the song. Remember, there's at least 100 million patriots, and we vote every day with our time, our efforts, our actions, our choices and buying decisions, our wallets, and where you keep your money. Where is your money? I hope it's not in Bank of America. Stop supporting the people and the companies who hate you, who censor, who cancel. We the people in our local communities need to be the ones to make the change, and we the people have the power. Turn off the TV. Don't get your news from social media, go to our Take Action tab at everythinghomeresourceplatform.com and click the Patriotic Media tab for the sources who are delivering the truth. You can get through the headlines in literally 15 minutes a day. Go to our must watch or must listen to page, rather, and see all the shows that you should be paying attention to. Those are what I'm going to try. I try to get through most of those during the day while they're playing in the background. And go to the Take Action tab. Everything is in the Take Action tab. The Reopen America Resource Center. Check out the Marketplace tab. So that way, any purchases you're making online from well-known websites and brands, 2 to 20% of your total purchase price will be donated to our nonprofit partners supporting vets, pets, and kids. So Take Action tab. Reopen America Resource Center. Partners and Patriots tab. All the live shows. Now, real quick, before we get kicked off, which it's happening here soon. We got to start your great awakening journey, guys. This is March Madness, Maskless Month. That's 31 days because it takes 21 days to form a habit. And we're falling off the wagon. I'm back on the wagon today to get started in your great awakening journey. Listen to episode 171 at the top of the tape action, take action tab gives you the instructions. You've got 124 partners, 247 segments of this live show, 130 one-on-one podcast episodes to guide you on the journey, and you'll have all the information you need to grow your business, enhance the quality of your life, and make a difference. And each week of March, we've had the all-star episodes. Just go to the homepage, go to the Partners and Patriots tab on the Purpose Driven Live page, and you will see all the episodes. The all-star partners on Tuesdays and Thursdays, their shows have been out of control. I go the list. I give the list in the beginning of this show, the episodes. It's easy. The website, once you see it back where it needs to be today. It's very user-friendly. I made it very Fisher Pricey so you can find stuff before we turn it over to somebody who's going to make it a pretty big deal and make it a little bit more difficult to, you know, professional. All right, everybody, let's do this. It's time to renew our faith, restore our republic, rebuild our economy, reopen America 100%. Remember, once you commit, everything changes. Keep those common sense caps on all as long as possible. Don't be a mask hole. Arizona is a mask-free zone. Courage, conviction, and common sense are contagious. Censorship, cancel culture is just stupid. Here's something funny on the way out.
This is a but I'm ready to work with any Republican who wants to help solve the problem. Or make the situation better. But folks, I'm going. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it.
And a special thank you to all of the partners of the Everything Home Socially Conscious Referral Network. Their info and episodes are listed on our website, everythinghomeresourceplatform.com, Partners and Patriots tab, Purpose Driven Partners, drop down from there, Take Action tab, Reopen America Resource Center. You'll all get connected. You'll get connected to the episodes and the live shows. Remember to make some time to listen to episode 171. Let's start that great awakening journey together. Jump on our train. Join us for the No Masses March Madness Maskless. 31 days of makeovers, motivation, and marketing. Let's do this. You can grow your business, enhance quality, all make a difference. You got a weekend. You got a lot of time this weekend to do this. Write it down. Pen and paper. Common sense cap on. Back on Monday, 5 guests, 7-minute segments. Join us, Nooner, for this live show, Purpose Driven Partners. Tons of tips and takeaways. It's going to be personal and business coaching week, the final week of March Maskless Madness. You're awake now, everybody. Go take action on what we shared today, what we shared this week. What an incredible, incredible month. Make it a great day. Make it a great weekend because you deserve it. Going to have some really great stuff to share with you starting next week. Everything changes on Monday here. Everything changes. We're taking it to the next level. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Everything Home with Michelle Swinnick. Life, laughter, and the pursuit of happiness. To meet, learn from, and hire the experts and the guests, professionals, and members of the Everything Home Socially Conscious Referral Network and Marketplace, visit everythinghometalkshow.com/episodes. And to listen, subscribe, rate, review, like, follow, comment, and share, go to www.everythinghometalkshow.com and find us on all the major listening platforms. Thanks for listening. We hope you were entertained, and we hope that you picked up some real-life, tangible takeaways from some good people
doing good business and good things. Till next time, this is Everything Home, signing off.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.